Hi, my name is Dr. George Turner. I'm a lecturer here at Western Sydney University in social work, and I am honored to have Dr. Lisa Myers here today, who is a social worker in the U.S. as well as a certified sex therapist. And I'm going to have Lisa speak a little bit about a first session or an initial intake with a client. As a therapist and social worker, she's worked in a variety of settings, and I think she's well informed on helping students understand the importance of that initial session. And often students are a little bit concerned about what goes on and how do you do a first session. So today we're going to have a conversation with an expert in the field, and I'm hoping that students can take away a few gems from our conversation. I'd like to welcome Dr. Lisa Myers to the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell me a little bit about, maybe how, tell students a little bit about who you are as a social worker, some of your experience, just some background.
Well, I've been a social worker since 1998. I've been clinically licensed since 2006. I've been in private practice since 2003.
Wonderful. And before private practice, you did a variety of social work jobs. And can you tell some of the populations you've worked with?
Sure. I worked with adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities in all capacities, starting out as a direct care worker part-time and moving up the ranks all the way to executive director. I have also worked as a on-call social worker for a local psychiatric hospital doing emergency evaluations.
So one of the things I think students often struggle with is that first session. Walking in and meeting a client for the first time can be really scary for them. And I'm kind of curious, do you have some key tips that perhaps you might be able to share with students, some things that over the years you really find yourself as going to, these are the things that you rely on. What are some of the things that you find are important to keep in mind for that first session?
Well, for a student, the first thing I would say is find a mentor that lets you sit in and observe them working. That is really the key. You can read about doing therapy, you can watch therapy on TV, you can role play therapy in class, but until you actually see it in action, you can tend to stay very scared. For example, how do I fill up an entire hour with a client? What am I going to say? The second thing I would say is to try not to rely on the paperwork. In an initial session, you will have an intake packet, but part of establishing rapport is active listening, not listening to fill out the answers to your questions, but actively listening, listening to understand the client. For some clients, that means letting them answer the questions. For some clients, it means setting that paperwork aside and just having a getting to know you initial session.
So here, it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is that you really need to customize the agenda, meaning that you as a social worker might go in with an agenda. I'm going to fill out this paperwork, but a client might walk in and totally derail that agenda because their dog died that morning. Say a little bit of how do you deal with that? That's a client who is not going according to plans.
Well, as a social worker, most days don't go according to the way you plan. That just comes with the job. So you have to remember that a key social work tenet is joining with the client and meeting them where they're at. If they come in and they're grief-stricken, they're not going to want to answer your 12 questions on your intake packet. So you just have to be flexible and roll with it.
You talked about establishing rapport. How do you go about doing that?
Well, you make eye contact, you ask good follow-up questions, you listen to understand, you go at their pace.
What are some of the fundamental philosophies or social work values that you work from?
First and foremost, strengths perspective. All people are able to learn, grow, and change throughout their lifespan. I believe very much in the dignity of risk. And one of the things that is really helpful as well is using the client's language. As students, we can walk into sessions, especially when we're very new, and rely on all the jargon. Clients don't know the jargon, so we need to use the type of language that they use.
Okay. What about a client who is perhaps speaking in terminologies that you don't understand. Let's say they're talking about a lot of club drugs or something that maybe you don't have a lot of experience with. How do you establish rapport with that? How do you connect with somebody who's using words or talking about in language that you may, are unfamiliar with?
Well, I'm upfront with all my clients right from the beginning that I only know what I know, and I won't pretend to know what I don't know. So if I'm unsure, I'll ask. But I think it's also important to remember that the client is not my teacher. So if something comes up in a session that I am unsure about or need more education on, I seek that out on my own time so that I can come back better prepared.
And you said something about the dignity of risk. What does that mean? Can you tell my students a little bit about what, because that can look a little hazy to people, I think, sometimes.
I think dignity of risk has to do with allowing people to take chances, believing that inherently they have capabilities, that they have knowledge, skills, and talents, and allowing them to try things out rather than trying to overprotect them. This is incredibly important when you're working with people who are viewed as less than, such as people with different types of developmental and intellectual disabilities. For example, people with Down syndrome can be assumed to be happy all the time, excellent huggers and bowlers, and needing protection. And the reality is that those folks with Down syndrome grow up to be adults, and they have capabilities, and they should be allowed to do things that might frighten their parents or their caregivers.
And have you experienced personally or professionally times where, and I think this falls under the umbrella of dignity of risk, where you're working with a client and you know or you feel very strongly that they may be making some bad choices? And how do you set back professionally and recognize that is a part of them taking risk? How do you do that? How do you manage that when you feel like they're making a bad choice?
I have to remind myself that the choice is theirs to make. I have to make sure that I'm doing my job providing education so that they can make an informed decision. Whether or not it's the decision I would make is irrelevant.
I'm going to ask you just maybe a few follow-up questions around things like, and you could speak to any of them or all of them, but I'm kind of curious, talking about this notion of not working harder than the client. That's often a phrase that you and I have talked about. What does that mean?
Well, that's one of the things that I'm very clear with clients about in the initial session, is that I've been doing this a long time. I'm absolutely willing to work as hard as they're willing to work, and that even though there may be times that I want to do the work for them, that's not how this works. And what I am unwilling to do is to work harder than them. That starts to feel like I'm pushing a rock uphill both ways, and I'm not willing to do that.
Are there any last minute or things that you would like to add, things that you think are important for students to know about a first session or an initial session?
Well, I think it's important to be clear about what my role is as a social worker. I'm not there to be friends with them. I'm not there to blow sunshine up their butt, excuse my language. And there will be a demand for work at some point. They come because they want something to be different. And wanting something to be different can be very hard. Change is scary. But part of my role is to push them in ways that they wouldn't push themselves and that their friends and family won't push them either.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Lisa Myers, for being here and for sharing some of your expertise with students. And I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Very good.